You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market and by Area Heating and Cooling. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein. Here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to you all. Everything in golf is one thing in golf this weekend. It is Augusta, it is the Masters, and oh my goodness, is it set to deliver this weekend.
Have you been watching it all this Thursday and Friday yet?
Yeah, off and on. I was distracted by the Hoop Summit, which turned out to be a great game last night at Moda Center. So I did have some actual duties and responsibilities here, but during the day, yeah, it was on. We were watching it, doing our shows and all that sort of stuff. And it was, I don't ever remember a leaderboard that had this many major winners, this many guys in the peak of their careers, all the guys, for the most part, that people want to see, maybe save one or two, being there, poised, going into moving day to do something spectacular. This is ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I was thinking, is it parity? Or have we reached a point of parity, but on a very high level in golf? I think that's it. We've got a lot of really good players who are all playing really well, and they have geared themselves and their schedules to peak in April. And here they are at the top of the leaderboard.
And I think part of it is the redesigned schedule that's forcing these guys to, if they want to play in the playoffs and get to the tour championship and win big giant buckets of money, they got to play in these events. And it's set up now the way that it is, that you've got to play enough, so they're getting enough competitive rounds in at tough courses with good fields to be ready. Because there's some guys that maybe didn't really dial it up before. They'd pick a couple of their favorite events, but they'd come into the Masters maybe only having played two or three events. Yeah, I think most of them have played four or five or six by now.
Yeah, but that doesn't diminish the value of the Masters in their mind. I think the players all want to win the Masters because of,
oh, definitely.
It's a great tournament. So their method of preparation is going to be different for each one of them. Family things going on, distractions and all kinds of things. But they prepare for the Masters. I watched Thursday and Friday, and I usually don't watch the Masters until, in my own mind, the last nine holes on Sunday. That's when things happen. This time, maybe because I'm retired, now I got very little to do.
Yeah, what else am I going to do?
Exactly. I sit around on my butt watching the Masters.
Fix me a cocktail.
And, no, I just keep drinking coffee all day and try and stay awake and eating chocolate. So I was actually glued to it. I thought it was pretty good TV.
It was great TV. And then on Friday in the afternoon on the back nine, Tiger actually started making some putts and some birdies. And oh my goodness, as if there weren't enough names up there at the top. Now here comes Tiger. He's one shot back. We'll hear from him. We've got some clips from some of the guys up there, some of the big names, their thoughts heading into the weekend, how they've played so far. And we are expecting a call from our good friend Peter Jacobson at 8:30. Get his thoughts on it. He was at Augusta for the drive, chip, and putt finals, an event that he absolutely loves doing, seeing kids from all across the country of all ages come out and get a chance to experience that. So we'll ask him about that and what he's seen, obviously still with NBC and Golf Channel's coverage. He had a lot of those Florida events where NBC really picks it up to see how these guys were rounding into form and stuff. So we'll get his thoughts on what we're witnessing and what we expect to see. In the business of golf, Harold actually has some business that he's going to discuss. We're very excited about it. So we'll let you turn that loose on the listening public there at 8:45.
That's a pretty exciting, isn't it?
That's a great tease, by the way. All right. Without further ado, let's go inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right. We will get to the Masters leaderboard and everything that's happened here on Thursday and Friday. But we want to start going back to last week, a couple of significant events. One, the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and we were last weekend maybe taking a few pot shots at the members at Augusta National. But if you watch the event on Saturday, the show that the two young ladies in the lead, Jennifer Kupcho, who actually won, and Maria Fossey, put on there, playing in the last group, back and forth, the way the crowd responded to them. Kupcho hit some ridiculous shots. 16
unbelievable.
Was unbelievable. Yeah. Those two women, whenever they advance and get to LPGA, two more young stars, and they soaked up the crowd. They were two different personalities. Fossey there was fist pumping and trying to get the crowd riled up, but they obviously were competitors. Fossey at Arkansas, Kupcho at Wake Forest, so they knew each other. They played two of the best amateurs coming up, but the camaraderie that they showed one another, the respect that they showed one another throughout their round, I thought that was spectacular. And for a first event, Augusta National Women's Amateur, wanting the spotlight to be on the young ladies playing in it and a performance, they couldn't have asked for anything better.
I think it was absolutely great. You're a glass half full and I'm a glass half empty kind of person. So I brought up the negatives, but I have to look at the positives. Kupcho was absolutely fantastic. She made a charge on the back nine, and you mentioned her shot on 16 was unbelievable, leading to an eagle. She was coping with a migraine, which is 16
was the par three. 13 was the par five. She eagle.
Yeah, right. Thank you. She was coping with the remnants of a migraine. If you've ever had a migraine, anyone out there listening, you know how.
Oh, it's that, all you want to do is go into bed and pull sheets over your head.
Yeah. I've actually given lessons with a migraine, and I apologize to anyone who I really didn't see where your golf ball went, and I only saw the upper half of your body. So but that was that's tough to do. The women at every level have a different attitude, most of them, than the men do. And I'm not saying that it's completely different, but you're going to see a lot more camaraderie on the ladies' tour overall. I saw quite a bit of nice shot and a fist pump at the Masters the last 2 days. So I think there's an element of that supporting one another. But you see it so obviously on the women's tour. And in the case of last week, Fossey and Kupcho really really showed us that golf is a game and it is about having fun.
So, yeah. So for all the shots we took there at Augusta National for finally coming around to it, at least when they do it, when they decide to go all in, they did it very well. So, yeah. But congratulations to all the women that played in that, the 30 that made the cut and the show that they put on. I think a lot of people will be tuning back in and getting to know that event moving forward. As for the professional ladies, they had their first major, the ANA Inspiration, the former Dinosaur Classic out there in Mission Hills. Jin Young Ko, another win, 10 under par. She pulled away and won that in convincing fashion. MH Lee finishing second. Lexi Thompson got it together, made a charge, but it was too little too late, a 67 to get to 6 under and finishing third. But the 74 on Saturday took her out of contention. The Korean players continue to just dominate the tour this year. And Jin Young Ko, odds-on player of the year on the LPGA Tour.
Well, she moved up to number one in the world in the Rolex ranking. She's the fifth Korean to hold a position of number one. They are just producing some great players. I congratulate them. That's really, they're not out. we say it's about fun, but they're really producing some good players, and yet they're enjoying the game at the same time.
So when are we putting Sayuri Park in the World Golf Hall of Fame? Because it all started with her. There was no Korean women's professionals at that level until Sayuri Park came along, and they all wanted to be her.
I agree, and I don't understand why she wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And are we sure she's not?
I'm not aware. I'll double check that, but I don't think she was in.
We got to crack research.
Well, I know. We'll get Will on that. Yeah. Will's going to investigate the World Golf Hall of Fame.
What's that?
Huh. All right. Sayuri Park, World Golf Hall of Fame. Is she in yet?
Oh, no, thanks. I already ate.
He's terrible. You know, we pay him too, don't we?
He's full time now.
Thank you.
I don't contribute much to this show other than pressing buttons, but when I do, it's something.
All right, look it up.
All right, we'll get that for you by the end of the show, I promise. All right, to the Masters, the leaderboard, Francesco Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, tied for the lead at 7 under par, all have major victories on their resume. Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Tiger Woods, Justin Harding, one shot back at 6 under. Obviously, Dustin and Tiger are major winners. Xander Schauffele, everybody believes, will be a major winner at one time. Justin Harding is the player that probably nobody has ever heard of. Got his first win on the European Tour early this year at the Qatar Masters, 33 out of South Africa. And he is the one that is not like the others here amongst the leaders. But he had one hell of a second nine. Sorry, it's the second nine at Augusta. He birdied 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the final 7 holes, bogeys. Bogeyed 18 both days, so otherwise he could be in the lead. But back-to-back 69s for him to get him to 6 under, and he will see who he's paired with. He's paired with Xander Schauffele. So those two, that could be an interesting pairing for them, not being with one of the guys that's going to have the massive, you know, traveling circus with them there. So they're in between Woods and Poulter and Dustin Johnson and Louis Oosthuizen. So,
I think it's a comfortable pairing for both of them.
So I think that's good for them. Yeah. They're not with Dustin or Tiger or Brooks Koepka or Jason Day, where you're going to just have massive, massive galleries or throngs of patrons. I forget what I can and can't call those groups, but whatever. So I think that could be to their benefit.
So they're following Tiger, though, right?
They are one group. They're the group behind him. And then it'll be Dustin and Oosthuizen at 11:25, Koepka and Adam Scott at 11:35, and Jason Day and Francesco Molinari at 11:45, your last group going off today. You've got John Rahm and Patton Kizzire, who'll go off at 10:55. Kuchar and Mickelson, that will be a comfortable pairing for those two.
Absolutely.
And they are at 4 under par. You got Bryson DeChambeau, who was a first-round co-leader and then had a tough 75 in round 2.
You know, that guy is just too good, too clever for his own good. I mean, he's out there thinking his way through every little degree here and degree there.
Yep.
I heard Justin Leonard say that DeChambeau spent 14 hours dialing in his golf clubs, and Justin said he's only one club. Yeah, once he spent 14 hours dialing in one club.
And I think the issue, after he played his round, he was one of the last groups off on Thursday and was in the lead, but he went right back to the driving range. And I think Augusta is one place where I understand if there's something you want to work on right after, but you can't wear yourself out on Thursday and Friday.
Emotionally, you can't think
you're going to be in position. How much just energy you're going to need to be able to concentrate if you're in contention on Sunday is different from just about any other tournament.
Well, it's a marathon. Most every weekend or week is a marathon for players. But if you magnify that 10 times at the Masters, and you really have to, control your emotions and everything throughout. I wanted to see, I was interested in the Canadian Corey Connors, and his win last week put him in the Masters, and he's 3 under par. So he's on a hot streak here. It's kind of exciting to see that.
He's riding it. He'll go off at 10:15 here this morning as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got some post-round audio from guys like Tiger and Phil. See what their thoughts are heading into the weekend, being in contention yet again here on a star-studded moving day from Augusta for the Masters. It's Golf in the Northwest here on 1080 The Fan. 8:18 here this morning. Peter Jacobson going to call in at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen so far at the Masters. He's got an event coming up at East Moreland later this summer that he'll be out for as well. I know he always likes to get back here when he can. To Portland, although he's based in Florida most of the time, and obviously working for NBC and their golf coverage keeps him pretty busy these days.
It does, but his brother, David's a good friend, and he stays very connected with youth golf in the Portland area with the Youth on Course program that we talked about last week. David's instrumental in that, the growth of that program in, throughout Oregon and Southwest Washington.
So we'll get his thoughts, but as we mentioned, he couldn't ask for a better leaderboard, minus having Spieth and McIlroy maybe a little bit higher up there, but it is loaded with major winners up there. The most notable, Tiger Woods, made a charge on the back nine on Friday to get within a stroke of the lead and had a couple of putts, could very well be in the lead, 17 and 18 makeable birdie putts that he left just short there. But he talked about his round with ESPN and Tom Rinaldi afterwards.
It was fun. I felt like I left a few shots out there, but you know, overall it was a solid day. I was very patient, just kind of hung in there and kind of kept grinding and trying to make a birdie here and there when I could. If I had a green light situation, you know, really attack and make sure I left the ball below the hole. And that's still the key here.
And he also talked about being in a position going into the weekend.
Well, the last three major championships, I've been right there. So it's three in a row. I've been right there in the mix. I had the lead at the British Open at one point in the back nine on Sunday and had a shot at it against Brooksy at the PGA, and all of a sudden here I am at the Masters.
Yeah, he's really, when you think about where he was a couple of years ago, you wonder, how the heck is this guy ever going to come back? And I can tell you, quite frankly, I didn't think he had a snowball's chance in hell of doing what he has done. I never thought that he would be who he once was. He's actually proving that wrong. I mean, he hit 16 of 18 greens. His iron play is superb. He still struggles with his driver off the tee, had to pull off some pretty damn good shots just to save some pars. He missed two putts. He should have a 2-3 shot lead on in this thing.
Yep.
So I am, it was pretty exciting to watch Tiger Woods make a comeback. Is he the same person? No, in some ways he's not. I saw him kind of smiling and enjoying it.
That was the thing. He said it was fun. I can't remember the last time you saw him with being that light after a round in this whole comeback thing, whether it was dealing with the injury and being frustrated his body wasn't responding or his game wasn't in shape. But if, and for those who thought, okay, is he ever going to win a major again? Obviously Augusta is a place that he knows like the back of his hand. We know Tiger on certain courses at Torrey Pines, he won the Bridgestone event. I don't know how many times he's won the Memorial. I don't know how many times. So when he gets a course that he likes and he knows exactly where to hit it. He knows where he can miss it. He knows how to get up and down. He knows the greens. This is the major that is most likely going to be the one that he wins if he can win one after all everything he's been through.
Well, I was thinking that along the same lines, but watching the way he's playing, I think he's a threat in every one of them. And that's a complete reversal of what I was thinking of before. Like you, he's won four times here. There's no reason to think that he can't win a fifth. And yet the quality of the field is so much better now than it was when he won back in, what was it, 06, won his last major. So, but I'm seeing a player, if he can get his driver going a little bit straighter, the putting will come around. He wasn't that disappointed with his putting because he said he was hitting the ball where he
wanted, right on lines. They were just a hair, half a ball, one ball short. And
which surprised me because that means that they're a slight misread. And he, I think he knows these greens well enough that I'm surprised to see him misread them. We all miss putts. We don't expect Tiger Woods to miss, you know, 8-footers and, yeah, and 5-footers.
Yeah, he was making the bombs. It was those mid-range putts in that 8 to 12-foot range that were just coming up a hair short. So he's ready to go, and obviously come 11 o'clock, he's set to tee off at 11:05. I can't imagine if he can get a couple early what that place and what the TV viewing is going to be like. The other guy that's in position has struggled in round two, but he's still in position is Phil Mickelson, looking for a fourth green jacket.
Yeah, I love the opportunity heading into the weekend to have a chance here at the Masters. And I didn't play my best today, but I kept the round in it to where I have a good chance on the weekend. And I'm looking forward to coming back out here and shooting a low one tomorrow. I've been playing well. I played well last week. And if I can hit some more good tee shots and put myself in play off the tee, I'm going to make some birdies.
He's putting really well. And, you know, we're used to seeing Phil missing a lot of greens. He's hitting greens. But he's exactly right. Pardon me. He needs to hit more fairways like Tiger Woods needs to hit more fairways.
So we look at a couple of guys in the lead. Brooks Koepka, after Brandel Chamblee ripped him Wednesday.
Oh, Brandel.
And Koepka comes out, and he's not messing around. A 66 in round one. Had to scramble a little bit in round two. With a 71 to stay in the lead. But you want to know what's inside the mind of Brooks Koepka? You might be surprised.
Nothing. I've got no thoughts. You know, just go out there and go play. And that's what I've done every other time I've won. So I'll just continue that.
As opposed to guys like Bryson DeChambeau and Phil Mickelson, who are doing calculations on every shot, Brooks is of the grip it and rip it mentality when he goes out there. And
I mean, doesn't it make sense with his physique too? Just this big, huge, lumbering dude, nothing going on upstairs.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I think Brooks Koepka is a pretty smart guy, like Dustin Johnson, but they put on this aura of just being pure athletes and, you know, I'm just going to get up and hit it. I'll guarantee you these guys are thinking. The issue is they're not overthinking. And Brooks Koepka, was saying things and doing things like an old Tiger Woods. He was keeping things very simple. He was not engaging much with the media and going back and forth with them, just kind of like Tiger, just keeping everything terse. Yeah. So here's a guy who has won three of the last six majors, right? So, and yet he doesn't get any credit. If it had been, when Tiger Woods was doing that, he got a lot of credit.
Yep.
Brooks Koepka doesn't have to think as long as he's in his mind.
Well, I think he's one of those guys that does all his thinking beforehand. And there's practice rounds, and he's with his caddy and his coaches, and they map out the game plan and what he's got. And then it's just about going out and executing shots.
Exactly.
And for some guys, that's how they have to approach it. We do all the prep ahead of time. This is our plan. And then when we get there to put the peg in the ground on Thursday in round one, I don't want to be thinking about that anymore.
Well, but there's also,
and if you execute good shots, you don't have to. Obviously, if you have issues and you can't keep it in the fairway, then you got to manage the course. But
well, exactly. And they had the weather delay, which really changed the conditions on the golf course. So you have to have a plan B, and how do you adjust to it? I think Tiger missed a couple of putts there, and I was just rethinking what I had said earlier about him missing his line or misreading it. I think he misread the speed on some of them because of the moisture in the grass.
Yep.
And so the rain was coming down. It was affecting some players more than others. Koepka seemed to not be bothered by it, but DeChambeau definitely got a little freaked out by the weather.
And so last thought here, Jason Day, he finished before a few guys, but a lot of guys were having success on the second nine after that weather delay, and he explained why the conditions were ripe.
I think the backside is very gettable, 13 through 15. You know, you can kind of sprinkle a birdie or two in there as well, but there's no wind. It's very hot. The ball's flying a long way. The greens are very receptive, and they're very true. So,
and that's going to be looks like the conditions, and Sunday looks like it could be the worst day. They're worried about thunderstorms, 80% chance of rain. So obviously the rain could really slow things down. If you're not getting the roll, then all of a sudden in the fairway on those par fives, but the greens are going to be really receptive. And once they adjust to the speed, depending on, I mean, the sub-air system they've got there to suck moisture out of the greens so they don't get squishy is ridiculous. We'll get more on that. I want a break so we don't have to have Peter waiting. He's set to call in here in just a couple of minutes. So we'll come back, talk to Peter Jacobson, get his thoughts on what he's seen so far, what he expects to see this weekend, and his event at Eastmoreland coming up later this summer. Golf in the Northwest making the turn on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:30 here on 1080 The Fan. We are back asking the pros. I believe that is Peter calling in promptly at this Masters weekend. So we'll let Will get him situated. Harold's back. You okay there? I haven't seen you move that fast in a while.
I pulled strained a hip flexor muscle exercising, and I'm limping. I look like Walter Brennan running down the hallway here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we've got him from New York, Peter Jacobson, kind enough to take a few minutes to call in. It's been a while since we have had a chance to talk to him. But, Peter, thank you so much. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
We are fantastic. We're fired up. I think everybody is for the leaderboard that we're seeing at the Masters. When you were playing or covering, do you ever remember as many guys, as many former major winners at the top of the leaderboard like we're seeing this weekend?
No, I think this is unprecedented. I could make a case for the top 10 or maybe even the top 15 players on the leaderboard right now to win the tournament. It's so hard to pick. In fact, if you were in a pool and you had to pick somebody, probably just put 10 names up on the board and throw a dart. Any of them can win, including Tiger, and the performance that we're seeing. Now, the weather's been great. The weather's been fine. The golf course is soft. They've had some intermittent problems, and overall, the scoring has been really, really good. So I'm excited for this weekend.
So I wanted to ask you, Peter, and incidentally, Tony Montgomery says hi. He said, hey, make sure you say something to Peter about it. He played in a tournament at Silverleaf, his golf course, and he was a match play, two ball, and he played against Tim Mickelson and John Rahm, and he won. So he's pretty excited. He wanted to make sure you heard that.
Well, I'm sure that John Rahm and Tim Mickelson were grinding on their game in that match.
I know Tony was. So anyway,
I'm thinking about the Masters. I would imagine that win over Tony probably trumped every other round they're going to play this year.
Guaranteed. So I wanted to ask you about Augusta itself before we get into some of the other players. Is that the golf course now is playing at 74-75, and it's gone from back in 2002, it went from 69, 85 yards to where it is now, almost 7,500 yards. And they're talking about changing the 13th hole. They bought some property behind from a Augusta Country Club. Are we going to see a major change in Augusta to accommodate the players of today?
Yeah, and sadly, I think when you start looking at a golf course, how to make a golf course harder, one way is to add length. Another way is to redesign the greens and make them very slopey. Another way is to deepen bunkers. And another way is to narrow the fairways. And unfortunately, in the game today, that aspect has been completely ignored. Narrowing the fairways, going back to 24 to 28 to 30-yard wide fairways. Now we're seeing 40 to 50-yard wide fairways with very little rough. and it's bombs away. And I think we're seeing that at Augusta. When I played, and gosh, probably within the last 8 or 10 years, we have seen such significant increase in the distance needed to win the Masters or to play at Augusta National that it's really becoming a bomber's alley. And just about everybody I play with today, I know I'm 65 years old and I'm a super senior, as they, if there was such a category. There used to be on the Champions Tour of category 65 and older called super senior, but the kids today hit it so far because the focus is on more on speed and distance rather than tempo and accuracy, putting the ball in play, as it was when Jack played, when Gary played, when Tom Watson played, when Norman played. But yeah, I think you're seeing all golf agencies catering to the long ball of today.
Chatting here with Peter Jacobson. Follow him online at Jake Trout. You're good to get a lot of great stories there from Peter as he's been out there. You can also see him part of NBC and Golf Channel's coverage of the PGA Tour. I know you were in the booth there for much of the Florida Swing, this new condensed or redesigned schedule. How has that kind of shaped what we're seeing at Augusta? I think there's a lot more guys who have their games really tuned up and in shape as opposed to previous years where maybe some of them didn't play as many as events as maybe we're seeing them play now.
Well, the schedule was shortened specifically to avoid football. The Tour Championship will be over, I believe, in the third week or maybe even the end of August, which, as we all know, the first college football game is the end of August or the 1st of September. So the Tour is trying to avoid college and pro football. So it is a condensed schedule. We still have that wraparound schedule. Next year's season will start in September with the fall events, and then they'll culminate with the Tour Championship in August. So I think the players have had to look at their schedules and really take a peek at which tournaments they want to play in preparation for the majors, because five months in a row, we're going to have the Players, the Masters, the PGA, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship this year at Portrush in Northern Ireland. So really, when you look at it, the golf schedule now will boil down to 5 months, March through July. And that's where the players are going to be focusing, and that's where they're going to be trying to peak. You're going to see players peaking in that time period, and we may see for the first time, I'm not sure it could happen this year, but you may see two players or more winning two majors, or maybe even more in a short period of time, because I believe that players play well in streaks. And you get a guy, take Schauffele, take Rory, take Rahm, take Tiger, take anybody. And if they start playing well, boom, 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 they could pick off two or maybe three majors. We've seen it with Brooks Koepka. We've seen it with Tiger. We've seen it with Jack. But with this condensed schedule, I think it's worth keeping your eye on.
I'm impressed with Francesco Molinari and what he has done in the last 11 months. What are his chances? And what about his game is now suited to Augusta where it hadn't been in the past?
When you've got a player like Molinari who it's hard to point out something that is dominant in his game, like a Dustin Johnson with his distance or a Tiger Woods with his putting or Phil with his short game. Molinari is one of those new wave players like Xander Schauffele, like Patrick Cantlay, who is just so good across the board. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give him an 8 in every category. Mm-hmm. And that's a lethal combination, especially when you're playing in a major championship. It doesn't matter if it's the Masters, which you need to be very aggressive, or the U.S. Open, where you need to be cautious, or the U.S. Open, the British Open, or the Open Championship, where you really have to have all aspects of your game because you never know. One day it could be beautiful. The next day it could be windy and rainy. So I think a guy like Molinari, who's been slowly improving in every aspect of his game, he's ready. He played so great. He fought off Tiger last year. at Carnoustie. We saw him win at Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer Invitational earlier this year, and he's in the mix again this week, and who knows? He's the type of player that could win the Masters, win the PGA, win the U.S. Open. You just don't know.
Chatting here with Peter Jacobson, who is off with family here this weekend, coming off your run there with NBC on the Florida Swing. But I know you've got an event coming up back here in Portland. You always like to get back to your roots here in the summertime, coming up at Eastmoreland, June 22nd, a one-club tournament. Let everybody know a little bit about what that event's for.
Yeah, we played in that. Doug Lemire used to have a one-club that, when I was in college and just starting on the tour and living in Portland, loved to play in that event. So my brother David and the Cumston brothers out at Eastmoreland, we put that together last year. And we're going to do it again this year and hopefully do it every year, because nothing teaches you about how to play golf than playing 18 holes with one club. It's so easy when you have 14 clubs in your bag that when you play with one club, it teaches you how to hit shots and be creative. So that's one of the most fun things that we do every year.
And I know you were at Augusta on Sunday, the drive, chip, and putt competition. You've been part of that broadcast, and I know that's something near and dear to your heart, just seeing all those young kids and getting to experience what Augusta is like. Let everybody know just how special an event that is.
Yeah, it helps to grow the game. It's a great collaboration between the USGA, the PGA of America, and the Masters Tournament, the members at Augusta National. And it's so fun. I've done it every year. We've done it now 6 years, and I've been involved every year, and I've met so many great kids as they start their career in golf. They start as early as 7 years old, and 15 is the end age group. So to be able to meet these kids, and now so many of them, I think there's probably 15 or 20 of them that are headed off to university, and they're going to be playing college golf in places like Northwestern and Stanford and Oklahoma. So it's pretty impressive what they've done at Augusta National. And you think of the kids, the parents always want to get to Augusta National to watch the tournament, but who is it that takes them? Their 8-year-old child. And I love that. I love that turnaround.
We really appreciate the Oregon PGA and in the Northwest. We appreciate the work that you and your brother are doing for junior golf. I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit here, Peter, and ask you, if you had to make a pick for this weekend, who would it be?
Let me take my dartboard and put up 12 feet. And I'm going to throw a dart right now, and the dart comes up. Oh, my gosh, it came up Peter Jacobson. Oh, I'm not in the field. Darn it. No, it's going to be a combination. I think when you get into the Augusta weekend, especially when weather could be inclement, we could have a lot of rain. We could have some wind. So it's going to boil down to how you control your emotions. Mm-hmm. So you can take the players who seem to get ticked off whenever things don't go their way. You can throw them away. Take the flatliners, guys like Molinari, Adam Scott, the guys that are flatliners that just don't seem to get ruffled, Tiger Woods. They're kind of unemotional. When the weather gets bad and the challenges start to mount, I like the flatliners. But at Augusta National, you've got to be aggressive. So you take someone like Phil Mickelson or Dustin Johnson, they're going to be a Jason Day. They're going to be going all out. They're going to be going at every pin. They're going to be going at every par 5 and 2. So it really depends on a lot of the intangibles, the weather, and how the players can handle it emotionally.
Peter Jacobson, you can see him again on, follow him on Twitter, at Jake Trout. He's part of NBC's and Golf Channel's coverage of the PGA Tour. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes for us on this Masters weekend. And hopefully we can catch up with you when you make your way back to Portland later this summer.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be fun.
It will be fun. There you go. Peter Jacobson. We love it whenever we're able to catch up with him. And so he definitely avoided making a specific pick.
I knew he
would. You want to be on national TV, that's how you dodge that question. The only thing I gathered from that is you can eliminate Ian Poulter. Do not expect Ian Poulter to be there on the back nine on Sunday.
Well, and that you've got some other guys that he was pointing at, too. I would say he was looking at DeChambeau, John Rahm. Some guys who get a little bit hot under the collar. he missed Brooks Koepka, who we talked about being kind of a flatliner. But yeah, that was a very smart position he took.
That's right.
And
that's how you get in the 16th hole tower at for NBC's golf coverage, right there.
Yeah, you don't make friends by making picks, and it's also an absurd thing to do anyway. But you and I will probably do it.
Of course we will.
Right. And that's because we don't sit in the 16th
exactly.
tower.
They don't want us up there. Right. I'm too loud. There's no way I could ever do that. So yeah. They'd be, shut up, trying to putt. Thanks again to Peter for taking a few minutes. Thanks to his brother, David Jacobson, for helping us arrange that. Again, EastMorelandGolfCourse.com. is where you want to go. That event will be June 22nd, the One Club Tournament benefiting the Jacobson Youth Initiative. You can give them a call out there, 503-775-2900, if you want more information about how to get signed up for that. When we come back, time for the business of golf. We'll make our picks here, what we're looking for the weekend in Augusta. We'll give you a weather report as well. And Harold has a little business of his own to discuss as we finish up things here this morning. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the business of golf every week on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Area Heating and Cooling.
Thanks once again to Peter Jacobson for taking a few minutes. I know he's enjoying some quality family time, so we really appreciate him carving out 10 minutes for us there. And again, EastMorelandGolfCourse.com, the One Club event, June 22nd, benefiting the Jacobson Youth Initiative. All right, we got Sinner and Saint coming up at 9 this morning. We have NBA playoff action here on The Fan this evening, 5 o'clock, Game 1, Clippers and Warriors. The Ducks baseball game got moved up over on 910, so it's going to start at noon today, 11:45 pregame, as they're expecting weather in Pullman, so they want to get that one in. And then Sunday night, we've got Sunday night baseball here on The Fan at 3 o'clock, Ducks baseball on 910, again tomorrow at 11:45. So that's what's coming up for you here. You couldn't ask for it's one of those sports weekends, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs. The Mariners are on fire, and you got the weekend at the Masters. I don't know how you don't stay glued to your couch all weekend, quite frankly.
Well, and the remote's going to be clicking back and forth.
Yeah, your thumb's about the only thing that's getting a workout here this weekend. Weather at Augusta this weekend. Today should be okay. Very humid, up into the mid-80s, partly cloudy, but the rain will come tonight. Sunday is what they are most concerned about. Chance of thunderstorms, 80% chance of rain, which will make things very interesting, as if it wasn't pressure-packed enough on the back nine on Sunday if you're in contention. You could have weather delays. You could have lightning delays. It could get very wet, so Sunday could...
It'll be fun.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah, and there's nothing like Georgia in 80-degree weather with 100% humidity.
Exactly, 85% humidity.
Yeah, you're breathing water. So, it's just terrible.
So anyway, okay. We want to do this, though. We got a sneak peek at this last week, but if you go to Harold's website, haroldbluestein.com, after you see our shining faces there at the Winco Foods Portland Open last year, you will see Harold's got a new book out, Golf, yeah. This Damn Sport, 107 Ways to Shoot 107. All the illustrations are yours. If you have not listened to the show over the years and do not understand, Harold is an accomplished artist with several drawings and stuff. I think the Ben Hogan ones, yeah, are your most prolific work,
yeah,
as it were. But this is hilarious. We got a copy But you can order your own one now. And I know I had some inspiration for a few of these. You've seen me shoot 107 in person and live to tell about it.
You were a real inspiration for many of the cartoons in the book. And there's a little alter ego. This little caddy in the front cover is kind of my alter ego, where he's saying to this player who's standing next to a flag that has 13 on it, nice shot, but you were playing the eighth hole.
Yes.
So that's, I kind of had a good time writing this book. Took a couple of years to draw 107 cartoons, and I could do more, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing this, and I hope people appreciate it as much as I know you have. Peter Jacobson did the foreword,
yep,
which was very nice of him to contribute to the book. So there it is. Have fun with it.
So, yeah, you can click right there and order it. I think we're trying to make arrangements for you to be at the Fangolf Classic and have those available to be purchased and signed and autographed as well. So stay tuned for that. More details on the Fangolf Classic will be coming very, very, very soon. Probably once the NFL draft party is over, you'll hear more and more about that. But we should be back at Langdon Farms here last Monday and Tuesday of June for that soiree. And yes, I will be back out on the driving range. You can take shots at me.
Yeah, really, I think
that's the highlight of the whole event.
You got a little desk out there and you're sitting behind a desk.
Doing my updates live.
Yeah, and you are totally unprotected, correct?
I'm semi-protected. I have plexiglass that goes up, but there is nothing over my head.
So a high, soft shot, which...
Well, it's hard to hit a soft shot out at 155 yards. That's kind of the trick. I've been plunked once over the years.
Harold's pretty much asking, are you going to wear a cup out there?
No.
He doesn't need a cup.
I have a hard hat.
Yeah.
I have a hard hat that I will wear.
Where did they plunk you?
Well, I was setting up, and I got it right in the shoulder blade I was leaning back under the desk trying to get stuff, wires and power cords connected. And so while I was doing that, somebody got one high in the air.
Oh, man.
It was probably Cleland. I'm sure it was Cam.
Yeah. Oh, one of your friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's taking shots at me. So... There's a 3-on-3 challenge between our two shows.
Oh, okay.
And he knows I'm coming for him.
Yeah, on and off the air, you have. Yeah. You're shaking your head. Well, what?
Yeah, it's. I think you have that in reverse, Swag.
What's that?
The whole I'm coming for him. He knows.
No, he knows I'm coming.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah, I think it's. I turn into
a different person on a basketball court. I don't know what happens, but no, he's not nervous.
Oh, okay.
He's claiming to put me in a body bag, but that's not going to happen.
I don't know. You know, former NFL tight end Jason Swigard, who enjoys spare ribs.
What were you?
I'm like a cum laude. You can't kill me.
Summa cum laude against the tight end. I don't know if that worked out real well.
Brains versus bronze.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can go to haroldbluestein.com. Just go down. You'll see the book right there. You can click here to order. So if you have a golfer, somebody that really enjoys the sport or needs to enjoy the sport more than they are, it makes a great gift. Father's Day coming up, not too distant future. Do yourself a favor there. All right, back to the Masters. Let's see, who's got a round going? Sewoo Kim, 2-under on his round. The amateur from Japan, Kanaya, is 4-under through 11. So conditions look good. Patrick Cantlay, 3-under through 7 today. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 2-under through 5. So the guys out on the course early are having their way. Aaron Wise is 2-under through 7. He's even, so he had that rough 3-over round with a tough back 9 in his opener, but he's got it back to even. So conditions look good right now. We'll see if they hold up this afternoon, but who do you like to be slipping on a green jacket come Sunday evening?
Well, unlike Peter, I'm going to step right out there and pick somebody. Right now, I like Francisco Molinari.
Look, I picked him on Wednesday. He only has one bogey in his first two rounds, and that's the key, especially when things get tight. You know, if you're hitting fairways and greens and giving yourselves opportunity for birdies but making pars and you're not putting up those big numbers, that can derail a round. You leave yourself in position. He is as consistent as Peter mentioned.
He's a flatliner.
He's a flatliner. Yeah. His game is at the top of its performance. I would be shocked if Molinari is not there in the final group on Sunday, and I would fully expect him to be slipping on a green jacket come Sunday.
What a wonderful. I mean, how many of these guys, the top nine? Top nine
seven of the
players.
Top nine all have majors in their resumes.
That's amazing. This is going to be great, great theater.
Great theater. Great theater. CBS will have the coverage. Yes, Nance and Faldo will welcome all their friends in. I think it starts. I don't know if it starts at 11 or noon today, and then 11 on Sunday. But you'll see almost all of the rounds of the leaders. Both days. So get your chores done early, and we'll be back next Saturday to talk about how it all played out. So thanks again to Peter Jacobson for joining us today. Sinner and Saint is up next. Thanks to Will Darkins, as always. Did you find out if Sayre Pak made the World Golf Hall of Fame?
That's the deep tease. You'll have to wait till next week.
Nice work. Nice work. Maybe you'll get that in Sinner or Saint. We'll figure that out before we join you next Saturday. All righty. Enjoy it. Masters weekend should be a fun one for Harold. I'm Jason. Hit him straight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Make sure I left the ball below the hole.
The little bit of moisture, I'm guessing, that we got sucked moisture out of the green.
Oh, my gosh. It came up Peter Jacobson.
Yeah, you're so breathing water.
Squishy.
How to make a golf course harder. One way is to add length.
A hair, half a ball, one ball short.
I'm a super senior.
So I'm sure they had her out beating balls until the cows came home.
Features in Europe.